Well, I just want to say it's good to be right at home in the house of the Lord. Amen. My earthly home's about 7.5 hours from here, but it sure is good to come into the household of faith. Amen. And this is no strange thing to me. It was when I first got saved, but I'm glad getting an old-time Bible preaching church and around old-time worship. And so it's just a joy to my heart to see these young people and how God's using them. And I tell you, it's a blessing to be in a service like this, an opportunity to come and be with you. You can be turning to Luke chapter number 15, Luke chapter number 15 this morning. Feel like this is what the Lord have on her heart. Appreciate you, Pastor, allowing us the opportunity to stand and to preach this morning. And thank the Lord for, I want to say again, no stranger to this. The Bible said you were strangers and foreigners, but now you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And the songwriter said, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. I'm not part of this local body, but I'm glad that I'm part of the family of God. And I'm your brother if you've been born again by the grace of God. Amen. And so thank God for that. Let's all stand if you would, if you're able to stand tonight, this morning, whatever time it is. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. And we'll start reading here in verse number 11. If you've read, been in church much, read your Bible much, you've heard this story here in the Word of God. But as I was reading it over again, it seemed like the Lord let something stand out to me. We'll try to bring that to you here out of the Word of God. The Bible said in Luke 15, verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to draw your attention here to verse number 17. The Bible said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now, notice what's right after that word hunger. That you see the exclamation point there? We'll find this, that he's crying out when he's down, been down in this pit, and the sin that he was in, and he said, I perish with hunger. Thank God that he got up and he went back down to his father's house and he was saved from his sinful situation. But I want to preach on this thought this morning on the exclamation before salvation. The exclamation before salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to stand and represent you. I thank you for this good crowd. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that's been in the service this morning. And Father, I pray for that touch upon my heart and my life this morning. I stand here in need of you, God. I stand here in need of the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to preach. And I pray that you convict sinners. I pray, God, that the saints of God would remember that time when you came to where they was at and you saved them by your wonderful grace, and they cried out in exclamation for salvation. And I pray you'd move today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And so I want to preach on that thought here out of this text, the exclamation before salvation. You'll find out here in Luke chapter number 15. I believe that everything in Luke chapter number 15 is lost. Some have called it the lost chapter. I believe everything right down to the elder son. The father wasn't lost, amen. But I believe this threefold parable that Jesus is telling these Pharisees and scribes who didn't like it that he had time for sinners and that he would eat with them. I sure am glad he had time for me, aren't you? I'm glad, thank God, that God still has time this morning to come by and to meet with us and to save sinners. I believe in a crowd this size this morning, there's somebody who's never been born again by the grace of God. And although you're in the house of God, you're far from God and you're separated from God this morning. I believe that obviously, we could say obviously this morning that what we call the prodigal son, you could see by his works and by his actions that he was lost. But I believe, dear friend, that although you find this prodigal son had left the father's house and you find him down there in a field of wickedness, but the elder son was in a field, we could say this morning, typified of a field of wheat, still down at the father's house, but he was just as lost out in the father's fields and down at the father's house as the prodigal son was here. But listen, dear friend, you'll find here that everything in this chapter is lost. And there's a picture about these self-righteous Pharisees and scribes, and they murmured against the Lord because he had taken time to come where the publicans and the sinners were at, and they murmured against that. You know why they did that? They didn't believe they were sinners. They didn't believe they had done anything wrong. They believed that they was keeping the law to get their salvation. Paul said in Romans chapter number 10, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, brethren, is that they might be saved. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. He said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's written a few thousand years ago, but this morning, until you come to the end of yourself and you come to Jesus Christ, you'll never be birthed into the family of God. People today are trying to establish their own righteousness, and they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's why you're where you'll find the elder son at. That's where he was at this morning. But listen, dear friend. Until you and I come to the place, or have come to the place where this younger son came to, and he came to himself, and he cried out an exclamation unto God to be born again. I mean, we're living in a day where there's no longer seem like expected conviction on sinners. Just repeat this prayer, and you'll be all right. But I'm telling you, if the wind don't blow, you won't get born again. If the Holy Ghost doesn't deal with you, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father which hath sent me draw him. And Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me this morning. I thank God for that night about 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on a bicycle as a 13-year-old boy, afraid my next breath would be in hell. The old man of God would preach on hell fire and brimstone on every Sunday morning. And listen, he didn't get loud and boisterous, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost moved upon me from 8 years old when people started taking me to the house of God. At 13 years old, it got so heavy one night I thought my next breath would be in hell. The reason I was awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting out in a food store parking lot, I was afraid I'd go to hell and I'd burn in the flames and meet God and be cast in the lake of fire. But I'm glad the preacher said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I took God at his word that night, and I called on God, and peace like a river flooded my soul. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. Thank God for peace of the Holy Ghost, peace with God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Amen. I believe here in Luke chapter number 15, you'll find in Luke chapter number 15, Jesus' main goal was even to see those Pharisees and scribes saved by the grace of God. And listen, the Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They denied the Lord. And Jesus looked at that crowd and he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. He said, there are they which testify me. And Jesus said, but ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Thank God, preacher, like you said, it's about him this morning. Do you know him? And in the free pardon of sin, been birthed into the family of God. Has he moved in the inside? Amen. The Bible said in 1 John, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hey, listen. Luke 15 gives us an explanation of what salvation is. If you ever been born again, Brother Tom Matt riding down the road and praising God, people think you're crazy. But listen, since I got born again, I hadn't been able to really explain it fully. I'm glad I got something that I can't explain. Amen. Something I cannot explain. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. It's God's unspeakable gift this morning. But there's some things here in the text that gives us maybe how we can try to give an explanation about salvation. You can say, a sinner asks you down there at the workplace, you can say, I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. He said, this my son was lost, and now he is found. Amen. Father said that about his son, that his son was lost, but now he's found. I mean, this explanation about being born again, you'll find it in Luke chapter number 15. You'll find in the first part of Luke 15, there was a lost sheep. And thank God that he was willing to leave the 99 and go after that one lost sheep. That sheep was like you and me. The Bible said all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he came seeking me that night. I was wayward and wandering. Amen. And lost. But the good shepherd came out of where I was at, thank God. I'm glad for a God like that, aren't you? Hey, I was living in waste. I was living in wanting. But thank God he sought me anyway. Amen. I think about how that lost sheep and how that he sought that lost sheep. It makes me think about how he sought me and saved me by his wonderful grace. 1 Peter chapter number 1 says, it said, for you're a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. You'll find here there's that lost piece of silver. And the lost sheep he was seeking. You remember when God was seeking you? Amen. I couldn't explain it, but I knew something was on my trail. I didn't go to church and the preacher would preach to me. I'd grip the pew and God would deal with me. But I finally come to that point where he was seeking me. I started seeking him, amen. And that's what happened first. God will start seeking. And then Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto our God, for he'll have mercy, and to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. I mean, listen, you realize how lost you are, you'll have a desire to be found like a wayward sheep, like a piece of silver. Amen. And listen, you know what it said she did? She started sweeping the house. She turned the light on and she started sweeping the house. You know what my goal is by the Holy Ghost this morning? To shine the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and sweep in some sinner's heart, and they see the filth and the ungodliness and realize they're lost. Amen. Hey, thank God this lost, but there's these lost sons here. Amen. I say there's an explanation about salvation. He was lost, but now he's found. Amen. I say there's an explanation about salvation here. He was dead, but now he's alive. John 5:24 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. I'm glad I got the life of God. It wasn't some new life. It wasn't some life that's made up, thank God. It was eternal life. Life it always has been. Life it always will be. I'm glad I entered into something and something entered into me, thank God, that always has been and always will be. The life of Almighty God. Amen. The Bible said there, and you hath he quickened who are dead and trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul said, among whom also we all had. I'm not glad I got a pass, but I'm glad I'm not living where I used to be. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had a conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. But God, amen, God came by, light came by, life came by, and it moved in when I called on him. Amen. I can't explain it, but I sure am glad for what God's told me about in his word. I wonder this morning, do you know you've been born again? Do you know you passed from death unto life? Amen. Amen. There's an exclamation about salvation here in this, or an explanation about salvation, lost to found, dead to alive. Does that explain what you got? Amen. I thank God in this text also there is an estimation about salvation. There's an estimation about salvation. And dear friend, I hope there ain't nobody here lost this morning. Amen. I hope everybody's born again, saved by the grace of God. But most likely that's not the case. I hope everybody is. But I'm telling you this. Here's the estimation throughout Luke chapter number 15. He is willing to go out after one lost sheep. She is willing to sweep for one lost piece of silver. And this, and dear friend, God was willing to save one rebellious son, and God was willing to save one religiously lost son. I'm glad, thank God, he'll save one this morning. You remember when you was that one? Hey, I'll never forget that night when God showed me that I was the one he is talking to. Hey, salvation is such. There's probably somebody else getting saved somewhere in the earth at that time. God's able to save them at the same time I called upon him. But I'll tell you this, it seemed like there wasn't nobody else around but me. Matter of fact, there wasn't no so-called soul winner of the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's God around there. There's God around there that night. I can take you to that place. Amen. I may not be able to tell you the exact time on a calendar or the exact about exact time on the watch, but I know, thank God, when I was the one that night that God was dealing with, and God came by. Young people don't die and go to hell on what mom and daddy's got. Don't die and go to hell on mom and daddy's testimony. If God hadn't come by your way and quickened you, it'd be a good day to cry out to God. I'm telling you what, in God's estimation, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. You ever heard somebody say, if I'd been the only one, he'd have died for me? I believe we probably got some proof of that here, amen. He died for the whole world. He's the Savior of all men. But until you get born again between you and God, and you're the one, amen. That's it. Amen. I'll tell you what, maybe the reason we're not seeing revival like we ought to is we're listening to this this so-called soul-winning crowd and saying they're having hundreds saved and the world's just as wicked as it's ever been. The churches are just as wicked. I've seen some of that crowd. You let some sinner get saved, some sinner come down by theirself, and they'll say, well, we had one saved this week. Amen. I believe it took every drop of Jesus' blood to save one sinner. I believe it saved. It's available to all sinners to be saved. But I'll ask you this morning. In God's estimation of salvation, he's willing to save one this morning. Are you that one? Are you that one tonight? Are you that one this morning? Amen. Hey, I don't know what time it is where I'm at, but God does. Amen. Are you that one? So we find here the explanation of salvation in Luke 15. We find the estimation of God willing to save one. But I think about the escalation of salvation. Amen. Jesus said there's joy, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Now, as far as I understand, there's always rejoicing in heaven. As far as I can understand, there's no sorrows, no burdens, no troubles. There's just singing and praising and serving God there. And so the reason I call it an escalation, it seems like it picks up in heaven. Amen. Hey, you ever been to the hospital? Well, the hospital where my children were born, whenever a baby, one of my children was in Vanderbilt Hospital, and I went in there to see her. She was in there about 6 days a few years ago, and all of a sudden music would start playing over the intercom. I said, what's that? They said, there's another baby born. Hey, thank God. I tell you, when a baby gets born into the family of God, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. There's an escalation of rejoicing over salvation. Amen. It didn't say the angels rejoice. It didn't say they didn't. But it said in the presence of the angels, there's rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. I tell you what, the Father who gave his Son is in the presence of the angels. I believe he rejoices every time a child of God gets born again. Amen. Bible said in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And the Bible said he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You reckon God the Father rejoices when sinners get saved? I believe God the Son rejoices. There's God the Son seated there in his victory, in his victorious resurrection. And listen, he shed his blood willingly for sinners like me and you. Amen. He shed his blood to cleanse yours and my filthy, rotten, ungodly sin in the sight of a holy God. I'm glad, thank God, this morning. I'm glad that there's a rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I believe the saints of God are there in the presence of the angels. I mean, there's some saints of God. Maybe this morning you're sitting here lost and there's a saint in glory. I don't know how all that works. I don't know what takes place there, but I do know there's some rejoicing. I don't know what God tells them, whether they do know or don't know, but I'm telling this, I know they rejoice when one's born again. Maybe it's a saint of God that prayed for you. Maybe it's a saint of God that witnessed to you. How sad to die and go to hell when God offered salvation. Amen. Amen. Y'all got a while this morning. Amen. Y'all didn't say amen. 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 Luke 15, I see the explanation about salvation, the estimation of salvation, the escalation at salvation, how when God saves sinners. But I'll tell you this, the main thing I want to focus on is the exclamation of salvation. It may sound real good this morning. I'm afraid there's been a lot more people that thought they got saved during an emotional stirring. Amen. Thank God we're emotional people. I'll tell you, let the Holy Ghost use your emotions, use that to deal with sinners' hearts and lives. And listen, you'll find here in this text, all this that we know about Luke 15 would have never taken place if there wasn't a work in his heart and an exclamation, a cry out to God.
Amen.
Amen. That exclamation, a cry, a passionate cry unto God. A passionate cry out to Almighty God. It says here in this text, and by the way, he is going further and further in sin. He left out of there and said, his father, give me. And listen, the Bible said when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And the Bible says here, when he had spent all, listen, you can spend all you try to try to get peace and happiness out of the things of this world. But God put inside of every man that desire to know him. And God made it where the only way there's peace and satisfaction is to have God inside of you. You can spend all you have and want more. Amen. The Bible said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? God is saying there's nothing in the whole world that you can exchange for your sins and God's righteousness. Jesus paid it all, amen. He paid it all. It's a free gift this morning. If you'll come crying out in exclamation, you'll get the salvation of Almighty God.
Amen.
Here's what his exclamation was about. It was about himself. Bible said when he came to himself. Y'all still with me this morning? Our government, our society, and most churches today never want to bring sinners to themselves according to what God's word says about it. Amen. I mean, there's a teaching of self-righteousness in our day. Amen. I mean, he was crying out. He said, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He cried that out with that exclamation point there. You know what he didn't say? He didn't come back and say, Father, you should have seen how wicked they was in the far country. You should have seen how many women they could run with. You should have seen how much booze they could drink. You should have seen how many lottery tickets they scratched. You should have seen that. And you know what, Father? You got a pretty good son. I just want to come back and let you know, Father, that they're awful wicked down there. They're awful wicked down there in the far country. Oh, no, dear friend. He come back saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. You remember that was for you? You come to God in your self-righteousness. The Bible said every way a man's right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. I pray he's doing that this morning. Amen. It's not by our self-righteousness. It's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Bible said in Romans chapter number 3, it says over there, you don't have to turn, but it says there that God gave his law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And Paul said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. And Paul said, but now, listen up, but Paul said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Bible said, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now listen, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul said, therefore, being justified fully by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth, but via propitiation through faith in his blood. He said to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The Bible said to declare, Paul said to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, oh, thank God, said that he might be just and a justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Listen this morning, you and I are unjust, ungodly, we're filthy and rotten outside of God. Listen, we're dealing with sinners today saying, God loves you, and he does. You tell this generation God loves you, they'll say, well, I love me too.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
They'll say, what's not to love? Paul said it'd be a perilous time when men shall be lovers of their own self. They need to know a holy God hates sin. He's angry at the wicked every day. They need to know there's none good, no, not one. Their throats is an open sepulcher, and they need to know that. And then when they know that and acknowledge that, they'll realize that God loved me anyway. Amen. That God loved me in spite of what I was. And they'll come crying out to God in exclamation. Hey, the Father had laid down some law around his house before his son left. I wonder what the law is around your house. I think we ought to have God's law laid down at the house so our young people might be born again by the grace of God. Amen. Y'all see with me this morning? He's crying out an exclamation about his sins. He's crying out an exclamation about his self-righteousness, his self-riotousness. We're living in a generation that don't want you to come to yourself. Your true biblical self. They say if you was born a sodomite, that God made you that way. That's contrary to this book right here. I mean, God said you're either a male or a female. God said you're male or female. He made them in the beginning male and female. And listen, this morning, if you don't know which one you are, you're not born again by the grace of God. I'm not saying what I mean by that. I don't tell anybody you're saved, you're not saved. But I'm saying if your mind's so twisted this morning that you don't know whether you're a boy or a girl, you may be very close or already reprobate in the sight of God. But I thank God that Jesus died for sinners.
Amen.
Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves and mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty plain, isn't it? He said, such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're justified, but you're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Thank God. Hey, when you come to self and you come to this, your self-righteousness and self-righteousness, but he came to that realization, he repented and went back to the Father. You know why? Over his sin this morning. Over his sin. You'll find here, sin will leave you about like this man right here. You know where I was at that night? Spiritually, now physically, I probably wasn't hungry. Spiritually or physically, I probably had plenty, amen, and most Americans do. But you know where he got down there in that hog pen? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I'm perishing and I'm hungry. Boy, that's how real it was that night. I mean, you get real hungry and you get to where you feel like you're on your deathbed. I mean, there'll be some exclamation out of your heart. Do you know this morning, everybody sitting here could be on your deathbed. Where are you going? Amen. You know when you cried out to God, exclamation out of your heart to Almighty God. He saved you and you come to him saying, God, I'm perishing. You come to him saying, God, I'm hungry. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus offers living water and the bread of life.
Amen.
I'm about done this morning. You listen up. Jesus had that crowd and they said, show us a sign from heaven. They said, Moses gave us bread from heaven. And Jesus said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. He said, I am the true bread from heaven. He said, this is the bread that a man may eat thereof and not die. And Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now, the Catholics have changed that around, and they put the emphasis on the flesh and the blood, and they say that in their transubstantiation, they bring the body and the blood of Jesus Christ alive in every mass they have, and they partake of that. He made one sacrifice for sin forever, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. But I'll tell you what Jesus was emphasizing. He wasn't necessarily emphasizing the flesh and the blood. He said, you have no life in you. Christ in you is the only hope of glory this morning. Amen. He's crying out an exclamation about himself. Amen. He is crying out an exclamation about his sin. I have sinned. He said, against heaven. Your offense is against heaven first, sinner. Thank God he had a home where daddy let him know what sin was. He said, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to rise. I'm going to go to my father. He's crying out about the Savior, his father. And he says there, it wasn't about his words. It wasn't about what he said. Y'all know this story, amen. He come down there and he starts that speech. And by the way, it'll take you, if God's dealing with you, it'll take you just not saying it. I believe there's been people died and went to hell, said, I'm going to get it right. I know what I need to do. Let me get back here with y'all. I ain't got all the way back here, amen. But you know what it said? He said, he didn't just say, I will arise. The Bible said, then he arose. And he came to his father. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. It was like Father wasn't even paying attention. God ain't necessarily worried about what your voice says this morning. The Father knew where his heart was, amen. And while he's crying out about his sin, he said, hey, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He can't put it on himself. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. He said, my love wasn't just for when he was right. It was an everlasting love, amen. Hey, God's love, you'll go to hell rejected. God that loves you if you go to hell. Amen. You know what he cried out there? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Everybody look right here as I try to close this morning. There's still bread enough and to spare. But you know why you don't want it? You love the world's bread. You love sin. You love unrighteousness. Bible says, I believe we're close to the coming of the Lord, and the Bible said after the rapture of the saints of God, he'll send them strong delusions that they'll believe a lie, and they'll all be damned who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I'm glad sin became exceeding sinful one night. Amen. I'm just trying to mind God this morning. Are you that one sheep that he's searching for this morning? You that one piece of silver he's sweeping for this morning. You one of these lost sons, thank God, that Jesus was dealing with here. You'll find he cried out to the Savior and he cried out to Almighty God. And let me say this, there's an expectation of salvation in this verse. I'm talking about an expectation of what man thinks. Don't wait on even what the preacher thinks about it. I mean, I'm not talking about biblically, your pastor believes right, but you know what I'm talking about. You better line up with the Word of God. He come back to that. It amazed me, this elder son, and most likely in a church, and I don't preach to try to get church members saved. I preach to try to get sinners saved. A crowd like this morning, you'd probably classify yourself out there in the field of wheat. He was mad, and the elder son wouldn't come in. And somebody went out there to him and he says, in essence, he said, what's going on? Let me say, son of God, if you stay close enough to the Father's heart, you'll be praying for sinners to get saved. And when they get saved, it'll just be a natural effect of rejoicing. I've seen this crowd just lead somebody to prayer, talk them up there, and they get up. It's just like business as usual. There ain't no rejoicing. I've seen God move in, save a sinner, and seem like the Holy Ghost just fills everybody in there. Some will cry, some will rejoice, amen. But he didn't know his own father's heart about his brother being saved, being lost and found, dead and alive again. He said, what does it mean? I'll tell you this, when he finally got down there and the father went out to him, he said, look at your Bible there, he said there in verse number 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. But it stood out to me and he said, as soon as this thy son hath come. You know what he wanted? He probably thought, you shouldn't have kissed him. You should have put your foot on his neck, and he could have. Condemned him under law. He said, maybe, Father, before you let him in, you should have hung him up and whipped him across the back for a long time before you let him back in. He said, as soon as he came, you had mercy on him. I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, he'll have mercy. He'll pardon you. Amen. If you'll come crying out an exclamation, crying out to God, listen, it wasn't about his words or his worth or his works. As soon as he came, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He cried out in the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and whosoever will let him come and take of the water of life freely.
Amen. That's right.
You reject it this morning, it'll not be because it wasn't paid for. Amen. I find an expiration of salvation. It ends, and we don't find where that elder son got right with his father. Don't listen to this crowd say there's always hope. I'm sorry. This Bible says you can come to the point you can reject God long enough, he'll reprobate your mind. You'll die and go to hell. I'm telling you, seek the Lord while he may be found this morning. I hope today is not your expiration date of God not dealing with you anymore. I believe he lights every man that cometh into the world at least once. Amen. I'm telling you this, you reject God, you do despite in the spirit of grace, that's a sinner, amen. I mean, you turn away God's mercy and grace and stay out in the filth and sin of your flesh, you'll die and go to hell, be cast in the lake of fire. I've tried to give you my heart this morning. Let's stand, if you would, it's hard to give an invitation, preacher. Let's stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder this morning, as a saint of God, you remember when you was there.